Hey guys, welcome to the Immigration Bite podcast. Today is May 12th. It is almost 6:30 in the morning. I tried to get some sleep last night. I took 3 shots of Jack Daniels and it's had no effect on me. And authenticity, right? So I'm not going to go into the full story or analysis or anything right now. Maybe probably in the next episode, a couple of weeks from now. But I had a friend pass away on Friday from COVID-19. And, you know, I've processed over the weekend. And I think, you know, I'm going through different phases. And, so last night, got no sleep. The remedy of 3 Jack Daniels hasn't helped. And, I'm kind of up for a work day right now. I might take a nap for, you know, but, just wanted to give that update again. I will talk about it more later on. I'm doing okay. But I think I just need time to process this and before I come back in a couple of weeks and give some updates or moment of clarity or words of inspiration, I'm not sure. But I'm doing okay for now. But I did, you know, I don't want to get my, I don't want to let my content get backed up. So today we're highlighting 2 great podcasters who recently had me contribute to their show. The first one is Career Fluencer. This is Cynthia Heisch. And just a quick description. It's a digital media startup, podcast, and community on a mission to inspire today's future leaders. We built Career Fluencer to be a company that truly speaks to you as a positive professional influence. So Cynthia was great to talk to. You're going to hear a little bit about her immigration story as well, how immigration has to do with her life. And secondly, we have Trisha Lopez. She's a Nicaraguan Salvadoran poet in LA. Her podcast is on Spotify and iTunes, It Girl Thoughts. She has a book that she has published, although I think right now the print orders are not happening right now because of COVID-19. And it's called In Time I Will. And I spent a couple of hours early today in a madrugada listening to the podcast, and she goes into very, very real subjects. She has one episode that is very, very personal, so I encourage you to check it out. She uses her personal stories and experiences to advocate for change, specifically in the realm of sexual assault and sexual misconduct. So, you know, do check out that very moving episode. And I've chosen to highlight a part of a recent episode she did where she spoke about her heritage and how cuisine plays into that. So, and again, it was a pleasure being on her podcast as well. So check out both episodes. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. There's an exciting episode we have coming up. And, guys, you know, at this moment, I don't know much of what to say. I've been ever since, you know, that I've come back from Orlando, 2 months ago now, I knew something was going to happen. I knew it was going to hit close to home. And I think I've just been trying to outwork it and just trying to give as much positivity as I can. And, it finally came close. And again, I'll talk more about it, but for now, you know, please enjoy these episodes, and do support Career Fluencer on Instagram and Twitter. Do support It Girl Thoughts podcast and Trisha as well. Talk to you next time. Bye. Cynthia, welcome to the Immigration Mike podcast. I was just a guest on your podcast, the Career Fluencer podcast. Not Career Influencer, Career Fluencer. I see that you put out a lot of episodes really quickly in succession. So just wanted to get to know a little bit of the story behind your podcast and why you started it.
Yes, first off, Kendall, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. Basically, you know, we hear these career stories about the highly successful people like Zuckerberg and, you know, these great business moguls. But the thing is, for the rest of us who are just kind of like trying to create a career path, you don't really hear much besides the career day when you're like in elementary school, right? And so when I entered the real world, I really not only had no clue exactly what I wanted to do, but I couldn't land a job to save my life and didn't even really know what to expect and all these different careers that kept popping up. And so all I wanted to do was just hear, how did other people land their positions? What's the story behind their resume? And I was so curious about that. I'd ask people individually, right? But that only takes you so far. And so when I kind of had this vision for CareerFluencer, it was like people who were a positive professional influence, you know, people who could speak to their resume because maybe their career wasn't super perfect or because there's a story that you don't see on that resume. And since then, you know, it's been quite a journey. I did leave my, you know, corporate career to do this. Had no clue at first what I was doing. It was quite a bumpy ride, but this year was really when we relaunched it with a whole new kind of strategy to where I took myself off from the podcast completely. So it's kind of hostless. And we let the guests take the stage and let them be the spotlight to tell their story and speak directly to our audience, because I want CareerFluencer to be this kind of resource for young professionals where you can find all of these episodes of any kind of career path you even slightly might be interested in and hear people who can kind of share their story and relate to what you might be feeling at the time. With COVID, when that really started cranking up, that's when I went from once a week to just saying, I want to produce an episode every weekday. Mm-hmm. Nobody, you know, forced me to do that. I just kind of felt like it was the right thing to do because I knew millions of young professionals would be graduating and entering this terrible job market. So since then, you know, we've reached over 50 episodes just recently. And it's been quite a journey, but yeah, it's been incredible to see all of the people who believe in the mission and who have these awesome stories that I couldn't even expect to find just from reading a resume, because your career is so much more than that. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell, I'd say.
And that reminds me, I think that's why I connected so much to your podcast, was because you were vulnerable in sharing about not being able to land a job. And then, you know, I have my story of not being able to land a job. What is it about, you know, the vulnerability that you've learned as, you know, you talk to guests? What are you taking away from it personally?
Yeah. So, you know, the thing about influencers online, right? That's part of the thought process I had into the brand, was that when you see on social media, you know, the things that we post, it's only the highlight reel. It's only the good stuff. And plus, careers aren't exactly this like cool thing we just like talk about at happy hour, right? But yet we all have a career, and it's all something that, positive or negatively, something that we deal with for more hours of our week than anything else, right? Yeah. And so at first, it was kind of tough to get people to open up about their career story and, you know, trust this like brand and this like platform that I was trying to build from scratch. So I really, really am so thankful for the very first guests. I mean, honestly, I think the first 100 guests are kind of in the first batch, but the people who are stepping up and sharing those stories that sometimes they've never even said out loud, in order to help someone out there listening who they probably will never meet or even know is listening, but it could change their career. Obviously, I'm very passionate about this. But yeah, I think it it really does make a difference. And that's why, you know, in times when I would be doubting, like, is anyone even listening? Is this making a difference? The messages that we would get from people listening, like all over the world, honestly, was what kept me going. Knowing that putting these stories out there is something that needs to be done. And that's just what I felt was my calling.
I think that passion for storytelling and wanting to provide a public service is where we intersect. So I do have to ask, do you have a personal connection to immigration that you would like to share? Something, you know, whether it's your story or your parents' story, what is it about immigration that has to do with you as a person?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So actually, my entire mom's side of the family is from Madagascar. So they grew up on an island in the middle of nowhere, right? Completely different lifestyle. And when each of my mom and her siblings, when they became 17, they all moved to North America by themselves for college, not even speaking English. They moved to Canada at first because they spoke French. And my dad's side of the family is from Texas, right? So they're very, you know, Americanized and all of that. But I kind of had this like split childhood experience where half my family is basically foreigners, like trying to figure out, you know, life in America. And the second half is definitely used to that kind of lifestyle. And I think it really did open up my eyes to just knowing that everyone has their own story and background from where they come from. And I think it did really fuel, you know, my drive later on in life, knowing the sacrifices that they made and how difficult it was at times for them to adjust or be understood or to understand how society works. I mean, it's really, really difficult to really get if you don't have those experiences personally, I feel like. So that is something I definitely connect to. And even me just growing up, everybody would always ask, like, what are you? Like, where are you from? Because I guess I'm like racially ambiguous. And I just say, you know, it just every time it's a reminder, honestly, about my background and knowing the people in your family or the people around you and what stories they might hold.
Yeah, no, totally. And I don't know why I just thought, like, you look a little bit like Rashida Jones.
I don't even know who that is off the top of my head, but I'll Google her.
From The Office, Parks and Recreation. She's an actress.
Thank you. I hope that's a good thing.
No, but I'm going in the sense racially ambiguous, right? So I appreciate you sharing that because that seems to be, you know, a very personal part of like who you are and, you know, what motivates you. So thank you for sharing. Cynthia, where can people find the podcast and where can they follow you?
Yes. So definitely, you know, off our website, careerfluencer.com. Careerfluencer is all one word. Yes, I made it up. We post all of the episodes there and you can listen straight off of that. So you can find all of our social media on there. You can find my, you know, own story and several episodes there as well. And on our Instagram or on my LinkedIn personally, you can feel free to connect. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cynthia.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Trisha. Welcome back to my podcast. If you're new here, welcome to It Girl Thoughts. This is a podcast where we make a safe space to talk about our stories, our struggles, and everything in between. As a starter, I'm going to talk about what I am, like my mix, my like cultural mix. That sounds so weird. So I was born and raised here in Los Angeles. My mom is from Nicaragua. She's from Managua, which is the capital. My dad is from El Salvador. And he's from a little town called Huachapan, which is about, I think, 2 hours away from the capital, San Salvador. If you look on a map, Nicaragua and El Salvador are pretty close together. And there are similarities in, like, food and, like, the way that we talk. However, I am not very connected to my Salvadorian side, mainly because, number one, I've never been there, and number two, my dad really doesn't talk much about his Salvadorian side, nor does he really stress for, like, Salvadorian food. Occasionally, he'll, like, want something that's, you know, Salvadorian food, and we have, like, a Salvadorian restaurant actually a couple blocks down, which is really awesome, so we'll go and order there. It's mainly always, like, pupusas, or, like, Salvadorian tamales, but it's never anything, like, more than just that, you know, so, like, I really have no knowledge in Salvadorian food. That's something I said that I was gonna do this year, is really, like, learn more about my Salvadorian side, so I'm working on it. I'll get back to you when I feel more confident to talk about it. But as far as my Nicaragua side, oh man, like, that's what I identify the most as. I think a lot of people assume that I'm just only Nicaraguan, like, both of my parents are from there, and I'm split right half, I'm right in the middle, just a nice, like, a half. But my mom has, more recently, as I've been growing up, cooked more Nicaraguan food, because my mom, when she came to this country, she didn't know how to cook.